what's going on? This is Noah Pharaoh. How is my family doing? That's great. Hey, today we got a great show. LeBron's getting stones thrown at him. He's feeling attacked. He's lashing out. We'll talk about it. We'll have a little conversation. Hall of Fame game was this weekend. There's a lot of future Hall of Famers in the pipeline. We'll discuss that too. We'll open up the frozen envelopes. Series of questions given to me by my boy Reggie Reg over there in the ones and twos. Remember, we don't really have ones and twos. Why? Because we don't have the money for ones and twos. That's why. Pretty simple. Plain and simple. Reggie Reg, it's my boy. He's got a Jerry curl. It's pretty funny. Need your help. Okay? Just a little business side of the whole thing. I need you to go to Apple Podcast. Okay? You go to Apple Podcast. What you do is you rate, you review, you send us up to the top of the charts. See, that's how this whole thing works. Apple controls kind of the whole podcasting world. And the way that we are successful, and the way that the podcasts get out into the atmosphere, is actually not even listening. It's actually reviewing. So you can put anything in there. You can say, I don't know, anything. Protein shake. Since I'm sipping on a protein shake. You can put that in there. Put whatever you want to. You know, be funny. Just say hello. And then rate, review. Give me 5 stars. I thank you very much. Now, if you're new to Laugh Line Sports, this is how this works. You guys are my family. We're all family. And essentially, we're just going on a little trip. We're going on a trip together like a family in the Mystery Machine. We're going in on a trip. Kind of like a family reunion. And you're just sitting back and I am telling a story. We're just getting closer as a family as I maybe go all in on some of these athletes or issues throughout the day. All right, let me go on ahead and shut up and get to what we came here for. Hit it! I use the word universe or gravity. A lot of universe to explain the pull or the size or the grasp of a lot of our big time artists, especially since now we're talking about athletics or we're talking about basketball, football, whatever. The gravity, the sheer gravity in the universe that they dwell in. I mean, I've also discussed that we all walk around in our own universe. My experience is nothing like your experience. It's not quite the same as her experience, which is not quite the same as her mother's experience. The sky is blue, but I might see that shade a little different than you. What if you don't see colors? Your universe is a little different than mine. And really, the sky isn't even blue. So there you have it. So the bigger the star, the bigger the gravity, the bigger the deal that you have to deal with. You're dealing with a Jordan. You're dealing with a Kobe. Someone that's a transcendent player on and off of the court. You're going to have some trials and tribulations. You're not going to be in control if you're the coach. If you're the GM. And you know what's going to make you a good coach, a GM? Is to realize that. Peel back your ego and say, hey, I'm just going to be on along for the ride. Now, I've said all that to get into the David Griffin situation, who had a few things to say about LeBron. LeBron's had an interesting week. People are jumping on him about being in layup lines with his kid. Let me tell you something. If that's the worst damn thing, the funny thing is the stuff that they get on LeBron for are the pettiest little things. Tell you something, any and every time I'm doing something, I did stuff in athletics and my dad was there, it was a memorable moment. Every time. Now imagine if he's in the layup line with me and I'm LeBron James's son. See, a lot of people out there just looking at it like, oh, LeBron is trying to get the props. If I'm LeBron, why am I trying to take away from Bronny? What am I taking away from him? The 100 people in the gym, 200 people, 500 people in the gym, and the couple of people that record it and put it on the internet. Oh, yeah. That's minuscule. That would help you go viral. That would help your clout on the internet. Bro, like, I don't need that. This is what I do with my kid. Because before this, I was out. We were out together shooting hoops. I was teaching him how to play. So this is nothing new. You know, because some of y'all kids play basketball and you were at work or you were doing other stuff. And he had to teach himself. No. That's not what I did. That's not what's going on here. I taught him. So he's used to this situation. Also, what you're not dealing with is Bronny is used to this entire world that he's walking in. When you are a child of a megastar, your world has been different since day one. Day one. You don't know the conversations that they've had. Hey, Pops, look, I don't need you in the layup line. This embarrassed me. Or, Dad, look, Tyreek and Lamont said, you got to do the reverse double check. I don't know what that was. It's just stupid. It's the stupidest thing of all time. You know who you can complain about? Are those fathers out there fighting other fathers, cussing at the game at other fathers? Or how about the ones that ain't there? Those are the ones you need to get worrying about. Those are the ones that are a problem. The dude that's in the layup line that is one of the biggest stars in the entire world. That's not the one, buddy. That's not the one, buddy. Come on, buddy. You got to do better than that. You got to do better than that. I know it's a slow time in the neighborhood. I know it's a slow time in the sports neighborhood. And it's hard to find stuff to pick at, to find stuff to jab at. But that's not the one. Find something else. But, hey, who's to say? There's not been a person on this planet that didn't piss off somebody else. It's just the way that human kind is. So what are you going to do? You just live your life. And I'm just going to be in this layup line and kiss my ass. How about that? And then LeBron dealing with a little bit of a backstabby, little something. Dude like LeBron, who's been coming up, you got to think of it like this. He's been a superstar since a kid. Now, everybody saw this superstardom as a kid. So of course, he had a lot of latches on. And at an early age, he's had to figure out, I got to close rings and have my pocket full of people I trust, and all those other people are out. Out. Stay out there. I'll be nice to you, but you're out. And he said as much before, because this past year, a reporter mentioned to him about all of his NBA friends, and he's like, oh, whoa, wait, hey, I don't have a lot of friends. No. And he made it clear. I don't have a lot of friends. No. I'm gonna have acquaintances. That ain't a friend. They'd only have a handful of those. And a dude like that, of course, your psyche has developed a way to protect yourself from day one of this nonsense. And so when somebody gets through a couple of layers and you feel like, nah, he's not even a friend, but you know, he's in the circle. I shout out his wife on my Instagram, on my Twitter. Shout her out so her business can get props. Her business can make money. We're cool. And even David Griffin, that's the man we're talking about, said this. So yeah, we're good. You know, we have a great relationship. If you have a great relationship, and don't give me the out of context crap, man. You know, again, the man's gravity. You know, you put any word of you can say blah, blah, la, 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 la. You are going to have an incident. LeBron is that big. You know this. And that is what's stressing you. You're like, oh my God, I've been so stressed. I couldn't take this anymore. He was panicking. He didn't want it. He said he there was not enough money in the world for him to stay. You hear me? You hear that audience? You hear that fam? Huh? Not enough money in the world for him to stay. He was stressed out. He couldn't help it. Now, look, I have been in jobs where super stressed. And I understand money is not a replacement for peace of mind, mental health. Get it. But let me ask you something. How did Pat Riley do it? Okay, that was the 80s. How did Phil Jackson do it? I don't know. Sometimes when you have transcendent players, and not even just transcendent, you have arguably the best player ever getting you championships, and you can't handle that because you can't handle everything that is involved with him. With his universe, with his gravity. His gravity's too big for you. It's crushing your soul. And quite frankly, as an owner, what does that say to you? For me? Like if I'm a Knicks owner, I'm like, I'm not hiring this dude. He's gonna crack. He can't handle New York. I'm not hiring this dude in LA. He's gonna crack. Cause I don't know. East Coasters, let me make something clear. Yes, L.A. people, they show up to the games late. They leave a little early. You know why? Because there's a lot of traffic. There is. Just is. I got to get across town. It's going to take all day. I'm not going to stay in here all late, and I'm not going to be there all early. But you tell you what, you mess with the Lakers out here, and these dudes will have an upright. They do not play. Men, women, children, puppies, all of them. So David Griffin, he was rumored to be a Laker. Do we want that? Huh? Do you want that, Lakers? No. You don't. So what I'm getting at is that sounds like a chink in the armor to me. Yeah, you stay down there with the Pelicans. Because it sounds like being great is not what you, it's not, you're not cut out for it. You're not cut out for it. And now the thing is, again, you know my universe. You know anything that you put in there. You better make 100% clear. You better do an Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if y'all know this about Aaron Rodgers. First of all, he doesn't give a lot of interviews. Secondly, Aaron Rodgers records his interviews. And I always thought, hey, why don't y'all record your interviews? Because if you did, you wouldn't have all these misquotes taken out of context. I'd be like, nah, motherfucker. This is what I said. Click. No. Over and over again. As soon as LeBron's name came out your mouth, you should have been like, I better record this. There might be some out of context. You act like you're 12, like you ain't never been through this. This is what you do, man. You do. So, of course, LeBron reacts. Which I understand, too. He's extra dramatic at it, but he's an actor. That's what we are. We are dramatic. We do dramatic things for no reason. We are dramatic for no reason. Do not hate us. You must love, care, nourish, cultivate our relationship, and then we will grow.
Actor man. So yes, it's going to be dramatic. It's going to be a lot of drama. It's going to be heavy.
The Lakers felt it when he came into town. And Genie was like, I kind of don't want this to be another. Magic said it too. Magic Johnson. He was like, yeah, we don't want to run it like the. We don't want to run this like the Cavaliers.
That's a Magic Johnson. He let it be known. We don't want that gravity. You know the funny thing about a black hole? No light can escape a black hole. It is nothing. It's going to crush your soul. And the thing about a black hole, the gravity that we're speaking, because LeBron's universe is basically a supermassive black hole in the center of it. You can't stop. You cannot stop it. Can't stop that train. Lakers tried. Like, no, 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 no. This is going to be a LeBron team. We're going to do it my way. Let it happen. And now it's happening. And we discussed the power struggle in professional sports. These billionaires have an issue. And that's not just billionaires, because it trickles down. The billionaires have an issue with giving up control. And then you have the GMs or the people that are the presidents who are controlling the team have a problem because they're control freaks as well. But then they can't really control anything. There's only a handful of people that control it. You know who controls it? Controls it. And Phil Jackson had it down pat. It's us in this locker room. And to a stronger point, it's the people on the court. That's it. No, one of the reasons why, the main reason why the Bulls broke up was not because they got old. They weren't fighting. I mean, I'm sure they were fighting. No, 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 no. What it was is that the front office found themselves to be a little bit more important. Openly. Just like, yeah, we more important. We don't need Michael Jordan, the greatest player ever. No, no, no. All these chips are coming from us. Really? Is that what you think? Oh, yeah, because we went out and got Tony Kukoc. You did your job. Congratulations. You know who balled out was Tony Kukoc. Wasn't your punk ass. The egos, the massive freaking egos on everybody in the building. Freaking palpable. They don't see it. None of them see it. My thing is this. How do you have that giant of an ego? And going back to the prior situation, how do you have that big of an ego where you feel like, oh, you want that control. You don't like the LeBron's universe because he controls everything and he gets all the glory and blamed. And then everyone never blamed for the failures, which is not true. What are you talking about? Actually, personally, that would be the one that pissed me off. I'd be like, what are you talking about? Because all the pressure that you feel that is exuding from me, because it's coming from me, right? And if I'm LeBron James, I'm like, yo, look, I got some pressures. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of pressure over here. I'd appreciate if you took some pressure off me. Thank you very much. Why are you talking like that, LeBron? I don't know what you're talking about. Just take this pressure. So people around him taking the pressure off him. Taking the pressure off him. Your GM has got so much pressure that he's taking off of the person who has the actual pressure that he can't function. Wow. Just wow. Boys and girls, really, what we've learned is there's no such thing as taking out of context. You need to know what you're doing when you go in that room and give this interview. If you have to record it, record it. If you have to have a translator, if you have to have somebody next to you, if you have to have that on live Facebook feed. I don't know what it is, but I don't want to hear it anymore. It's stupid in this day and age. This funny thing is that would be ultimately something that would happen to me. Greatness. I found myself talking about greatness on this show a lot. I guess it's because that's what we do, talk sports, and these people are the pinnacle of the pinnacle. If I was talking about space and I was talking about astronauts, then I'd be still talking about greatness. If I was talking about somebody that sewed toilet paper together, I don't know. Maybe I'm not talking about greatness. And then things are different. But as it stands, we are talking about greatness. And since we are discussing greatness, we should probably talk about, hey, football is back. Aren't we happy? Everybody's happy, right? Yeah. Woo. A lot of concussions about to go. Concussions all around. Anybody got any HGA steroids? Yeah. Same issues every year. Same issues. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, awesome. As long as we all know this now, everybody's happy. NFL's back, and we're happy. Hall of Fame game was this past weekend. I did not see it. Wish I did. You know, I used to be a fanatic about football. When I'm talking about fanatic, I'm talking about I'm watching any and everything. On the TV earlier this weekend, I saw them playing. They had the practice on TV. Now, old school football me would have been all on that. Oh, my God, they got the practices, the scrimmages. I get to see this. Oh, that's dope. And now I see I was just a drug addict. Like, I'm looking at it now like, what the hell am I? What was I thinking? I'm watching this. Man, we are addicted to this sport. But greatness. The NFL is thinking about putting 20 players in the Hall of Fame next year for, I think it's the 100th anniversary of the Hall of Fame. It's pretty dope. It's pretty amazing. There are a lot of people. Here's my thing. You can't be an all-decade team. On an all-decade team, that means not all pro. Once or twice. No, no, no. You're all decade. There's only one or two at your position, depending on the position, that are on that list for that entire decade. You've dominated that sport. Now, there are some people that say, well, you know, you should, if I don't think of you right away as a Hall of Famer, then you should not be a Hall of Famer, sir. Does not make sense. If you don't dominate your position at some point in time, like the number one player at your position for a long period of time, then frankly, you're not a Hall of Famer for me. One, shut the hell up. That's stupid. And two, you know how many people would not get into the Hall of Fame with that stupid ass criteria? Look, first of all, again, first of all, Isaac Bruce, all-decade team, not in the Hall of Fame right now. Torrey Holt, all-decade team, not in the Hall of Fame right now. T.O., took three chances, not in the Fame. What y'all doing right now? Huh? That's another, by the way, that is an all-decade team. And they're inconsistent, too. But we won't get into that. No, no, no. Steve Atwater, all-decade team. Not a Hall of Famer. Which is weird, because I believe John Lynch is a Hall of Famer. Same guy, same guy. So the inconsistencies need to stop. And they realized that. They had a backlog of receivers, backlog of safeties, that backlog of Carl Mecklenburg just marinating out in the atmosphere. I think maybe we should handle this. That's football, being progressive. Baseball. I don't know if baseball has that issue right now because like, we had Edgar Martinez get in, who was DH, the first DH. People still like, really? Not sure about that one, buddy. To me, I say, do you know how many blood, sweat, and tears I done put into this game, especially football? If I'm up for induction into the Hall of Fame, Football Hall of Fame. Let me tell you something. I want to hear your mouth telling me I'm not supposed to be doing this, doing that, doing this. I can't remember my last name. Can't remember my last name. I should be a Hall of Famer just for remembering my last name for 28 years. Can't walk. Die like wrestlers. Young. I want to hear your rhetoric about me being on a borderline of Hall of Fame. Besides, it's not an exact science. It's given to writers and, well, NFL's writers and us. I think it's actually a little better because it's all writers with baseball. That could be Barry Bondish. Yeah. Piss off the wrong person. But here's the thing. In baseball, you know that the writers have that much power. You probably, and I actually never understood this. I guess I don't understand. I guess people don't see the future. People see right now. So if the writers are the reason why you're going to be in the Hall of Fame, you may at some point want to start buttering up the writers. There's only a handful of people that were antagonistic toward with writers and somehow ingratiated themselves back into the good graces of the media. Keyshawn Johnson being the first person that pops in my head. He's not going to be a Hall of Famer, but he was brilliant because he was anti-media. But now he's a super charming media guy. Sometimes the media just keeps you out because you were, you know, a dick. That's what you got to do. You got to play the media game. Hey, let me tell you something. All of your stars on TV, we're talking where I am right now, acting. All those stars that you see on TV, oh, they play the game. There's a game. It's not necessarily your talent. It's the game. And in sports, you tend to be like, you've gotten off on talent for so long. Like, I'm faster than you. I'm stronger than you. This, that, and the other. But life is all about playing that game. You got to play it in every aspect of your life. If you're working at Ford, you got to play the game. I'm not good at playing the game. So I understand where certain people are coming from. But you got to find your priorities and say, is the Hall of Fame what I want to do later? Because I might need to butter up to some of these media types. They're all human. See their name come across their desk. Oh, man. He asked about my daughter every birthday. I can't keep him out. Edgar Martinez. I'm sorry. Actually, I agree with the Edgar Martinez. I love the DH. Baseball's crazy. I need you not to function like you're two different leagues. Sorry. I'm not going to run off on this tangent. Sorry. Edwin James. Another cat that's on that list. Waiting. Super Bowl champ. Multiple 1,000-yard rusher. Heart of that running game when the Colts were dominant. I remember we played them in the... So UCLA is funny. I live out here, Los Angeles, right? And so UCLA fans have a story about Edwin James running all over them in some bowl game. I forgot what it was. But it was a very important bowl game. Oh, I do remember that. It was a very important bowl game for UCLA. And Edwin James had 1.5 million yards. And it's funny to me because I hear that story, and we have the same story at NC State when we played in the Micron PC Bowl, and it was his last game in college, and he had not declared. And we joked for a while that we put him in the we're the reason why Edwin James was such a high pick. Us, NC State. You're welcome. Can I get some bread? Can I get some bread, man? Because he ran all over us. We had like 153 yards and 2 touchdowns off of 20 carries, something like that. Might have the yardage wrong. There's a lot of rhetoric about, like I said, certain people maybe don't need to be in the hall. Only if I see you, see your name on a piece of paper, it's like, oh yeah, immediately, Hall of Famer. He has to be the best at his position for a 5-year period or some arbitrary number that people just make up. That's random people. Wasn't Jesus. Thou shalt have 5 years before you are considered Hall of Famer. No, it wasn't that. It wasn't that at all. Just some random dude sitting at a desk who watched football like me and you saying, you know what? If you don't look like you should be the best running back in the last 5 years, then you're not on the list. Sorry, kick rocks. If I don't think that you should have been in immediately, you're off the list. Sorry, kick rocks. No, because quite frankly, you know how many people would not be on in the Hall of Fame? Troy Aikman would not be in the Hall of Fame by that stupid criteria. He was never the best quarterback. He was the best at the best time. So take him out. Look at the numbers. Tell me I'm wrong. Oh, yeah. Thank you. But if I were to tell you, hey, Troy doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, you'd smack me in the face, and then I'd kick you in the ball. I'd smack me in the face. Because it's a stupid notion. Thurman Thomas wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. Under that umbrella. Under the umbrella that you must be the best running back or the best at your position for an extended 4 or 5 year period of time. Because you know who was the best running back in the league at that time? Barry Sanders. Emmitt Smith. Sorry, Thurman. You're like 3 or 4. Because there's a cat that was with oh my God, can't even remember his name. The disrespect. Running back for Patriots, for the Jets. You're not helping me out, Reggie. Curtis Martin. Curtis Martin! You know why I remember his name? Because suddenly his S-curl popped in my head. And I was like, oh, Curtis Martin, that's right, S-curl. Curtis Martin. That dude has some juicy hair. I tell you what, juicy. Curtis Martin wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. He's a Hall of Famer. Oh, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. Check his numbers out. I'm not going to check it out. You go check it out. You do your own research and look at his numbers and put it in a vacuum and think to yourself, oh, yards per carry. Oh, 1,300-yard seasons. Not 1,000, 1,300-yard seasons consistently. Every year, 13, 13, 13, 13 touchdowns, yards per carry. But he was an afterthought. After Barry. After Thurman. After Emmitt. It's time, people. It's time to let these Hall of Famers in. I'll be over here. Sipping on some gin.
Where we at? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I'm sorry. What the hell am I doing? All right. Next, where we are. Oh, my favorite. My favorite. My favorite part. Frozen envelope time. If this is your first time through, the frozen envelopes are a series of questions given to me by Reggie in an envelope. Some of them are questions from you. Some of them are just questions from Reggie. Some of them are great. Some of them are kind of stupid questions. I love the stupid questions. They're the best. So, frozen envelope time! If you are USC, are you waiting on Urban Meyer? Football season, baby! College football season? Yes, you are. This dude is a dead man walking. USC right now, Clay Helton is the head coach, by the way, USC, if you're on the East Coast, because, you know, us East Coasters don't know jack about football out here. Comes on too late. But and plus Pac-12 is questionable. Yeah. Clay Helton's a dead man walking. Urban Meyer's going to be sliding. Urban Meyer's got a plan, man. I need to get up out of here. I done burned some bridges and messed up a little bit. I think I'm going to take some health time off. I'll be back in 2 years. That's what he does. He just looks at the landscape of the. And he also takes advantage of the fact that we forget crap. We do. We forget. We're like, oh, yeah, I forgot about Urban Meyer doing all that stuff. Brilliant. He should run for office. Next question. Did I even answer my question? No, I just keep talking, rambling. I just be rambling, gambling. Derek Carr is buying a house next to... John Gruden. Is this a good plan? No. What are you doing, brother? John Gruden, they call him Chucky. He looks like a madman. He's proven to be a madman and then obsessive about football. I mean, unless you, maybe you're single. Maybe you don't have a wife and child that he would be frightened to come home. Oh, honey, we're home. Oh, this is so beautiful. Love ya. And you walk into the house, turn on the lights, and there's Chucky sitting there at the kitchen table. Because that's going to happen, my friend. He's petting your dog. Petting your dog. Next question. Stupid. All right, so Nick Filangio, or is that his name? That can't be his name. Did you write this down right? Is that Fangio? Filangio. Nick Fangio passed a kidney stone at the Hall of Fame game. Brave or insane? You are on the field with a bunch of insane people. I think everybody has insanity capabilities. So you just turn it on when you're doing crazy stuff like, oh, I don't know, playing football and running 30 miles an hour into a giant 500-pound person. And it trickles down from there. Oh, the testosterone is pulsating. Oh, the toxic masculinity is on display. So, of course, I'm just going to pass this kidney stone right here. Right here on the sideline. Don't trip. No. Oh. Yeah. Anybody have a diaper? Next question! That had to hurt. They say passing a kidney stone is the closest thing for a man to feel pregnancy. And absolutely, if men had to have be the bearer of children, the human race would be completely dismissed long ago. Because I'm going to tell you something. Ain't nothing come out of me. I could tell you. No. No. I need that in my life. Shout out to women. Next question. Baker Mayfield. Are you pro Baker? I am pro Baker. Have y'all seen? First of all, Baker is the man. I was pro Baker since he was doing a Dougie his freshman year at OU. Ben Breaker. Baker. Now, is he mouthy? Yes. But this is not new, people. Jim McMahon. Nobody's actually talking about the fact that he is very Jim McMahon. Dude just bit open a beer and chugged it at a game. He knows his fans. He's in a blue-collar town. He's not in Los Angeles. Now, for all the Los Angeles love I give, we ain't biting beers open. Chugging them. That ain't L.A. He knows his audience. Beautiful comedian. It's just like comedy. Know your audience. He knows his audience. He's playing to his audience, playing to his people.
Aaron Rodgers kind of doesn't. Does his own thing. Both of them, similar people in the fact that they don't give up.
Ah.
Next question! Woo! The plague is back. The plague is back. Is that all you... Oh, that's story. Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you've been keeping up with current plague events, but apparently there was an incident of the plague at some softball game. It was a softball game, a baseball game. The plague. You know, the thing that killed a giant portion of the population in Europe. Bottlenecked the whole human race. Yeah, that plague. It was found in prairie dogs. This was in Arizona. Kind of fitting. I don't want to die from no plague. You know what? I'm going to suck up with some penicillin. You know what the next question! The NFL is the biggest sport in the United States. People want them to cut back preseason games. Are they going to cut back preseason games? No, they're not going to cut back preseason games. Are you insane? Where is this coming from? I heard this on the radio the other day. Almost like it was going to happen. Yeah, they're going to cut back two preseason games. You know? I mean, okay, they'll cut back the two preseason games. First of all, these are the money-grubbingness of the money-grubbingness of all the sports. NFL. They are the money-grubbingness. They're not giving back any money, man. The whole preseason is for another cash grab. It is another four games. The season's 16 games. Let me just go and add on a little four games. They're already talking about adding on two extra games, which is stupid because of the way they want to work it out. So you think that they're going to take away, unless they add on extra games, they're going to just take away these preseason games. And even, you know what? Even if they do add on extra games, why would I collectively bargain to add on extra games at the end and then lose the extra games in the beginning? I'm not helped out by that. If I'm an owner personally, I'm making all this money off of preseason games. You could put anybody in those pads. We don't know half of those people. Nobody after last year, McVay and Rams didn't play any of the stars through the preseason. Nobody's doing that. We don't care. It says Green Bay on the helmet. Thank you so much, family. Again, thank you for support. Thank you for your reviews. Please review. 5-star me. Go to Apple, iTunes. Just need comments. You know what to do, guys. I appreciate it. You can at me at Noah Farrow. Farrow is spelled P-H-A. R-A-O-H. Noah, N-O-A. So N-O-A-P-H-A-R-A-O-H. Or The Pharaoh King. That's on Instagram. The Pharaoh King on Twitter. And of course, fam, join at Laugh Line Sports. That's on Instagram. That's on Twitter. Till next time. Oh, also, check out my other podcast. It is called I Adopted, where I try to find my biological heritage since I am adopted. Good time. And by good, I mean awkward. Thanks, fans.